Chodesh Tov world. And today's dafim, the Sechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Daf Pei Zayin. And we are holding at the bottom of Daf Pei Vav, Omud Beis. So what we're going to be doing now, today, and this is even more accentuated in the next parak, but we want to see the interrelationship that we've seen all along, we've suspected all along, if the dinim that have to do with Yibum and the fact that Zera Einla is said Legaba Yibum, how it relates to the idea of Zera representing the continued presence of a husband when it comes to Achilas Truma or the Psula being a marriage, is married to a Yisrael and not being able to eat Truma for a Bat Kohen. We're going to see some remarkable interrelationships in every possible angle of how one of these halachas ought to affect the other, and why it doesn't. So that way we'll be able to tease apart the similarities of the inyanim that have to do with continued presence of a husband who died, binogea achila, and what the status would be in determining her rights to eat truma, versus the inyanim of yibum. And this is the first time that the Gemara actually goes through the interrelationships step by step. Until now, we had to figure out that we suspected it because of the fact that the halachas are both here, and we were shocked to discover that they were almost the same. Get a little light here. Okay. So let's begin with a halakha mishnah. But since we have Richie here, what the heck? Why not begin on a Rosh Chodesh with special words? So at last, we're going to put together everything that we know about the way that the marriage of a Bat Yisrael or a Bat Kohen affects them l'gabi achila. So let's start with a fascinating history of a woman who goes through quite a few different husbands here. So she starts off as a Bat Yisrael. She goes ahead and she's nisait l'kohen. Okay, at that point, tochal betruma. And later on, the Mishnah will discuss the primary dinim and where we get them from. And this allows her to eat truma. Now, if her husband dies and she has a child from the husband, remember, this is classic organization of Mishnah according to Rebbe, where we get closer and closer to the underlying things rather than starting with the underlying things and building outwards. So these are all halachas that we've sort of been taking for granted all along. We finally get to taking a look at them in their precise version and discovering where they come from. So over here, we know that if her husband, who is a Kohen, died and leaves her with a son, v'lahem en ha-bein, tochal b'truma, she continues to eat truma as if that Kohen is still alive. And now she eats b'shvil b'na. Now, how about if she gets a second marriage here and she goes and she marries a Levi? Now, once she marries a Levi, so then niset Levi, then tochal b'ma'asar. Over there, what's the din? The din is that she eats meiser once she marries a Levi. But this would be the equivalent. What happens when a bas kohen goes ahead and marries a Yisrael? She can't eat truma. If she goes ahead and she marries a meiser, she marries a Levi, she can't eat truma. The same thing is true over here. She was eating because of the child that she had from the Kohen. But now that she got married to a Levi, she can't eat truma anymore. The most she can do is she can eat meiser. Now, how about if that Levi dies and she has a son from the Levi, she continues to eat meiser, but she still cannot eat truma. Now, note that the child over here works in both directions. Because if he was not around the husband, so then she would be allowed to continue eating truma because of her son from her deceased husband who was a Kohen. Now that she married the Levi, she's no longer allowed to eat truma. But if she has a child from the Levi, now that child acts the way that a child of a Yisrael would have acted to a Bas Kohen. Namely, the presence of that continued marriage in the presence of the child The continued marriage prevents her from eating truma. However, the same child that prevented her from eating truma does give her a chelik in maaser. Remember, this is continuing the sheet of Rabbi Meir that we had before, that a zara or Yisraelite is asura to eat maaser. But over here, since she's married to a Levi, but her husband's dead, but she has a child from that husband. But the child from that husband prevented her from eating truma. That's fine. But at the same time, he is also giving her maaser. So what do we see here? That the child is the continued presence of the husband. Now, how about if she then goes ahead and she marries a Yisrael on as a third marriage? So then she can eat neither, not truma, velo b'maaser, because now she is married to Yisrael. And even if she would have been a bat kohen who was eating truma because of her own beit aviyah, she wouldn't have been able to continue to eating truma if she married Yisrael. So over here, if she was eating truma because of the presence of her child, who was the Kohen's son, she still cannot eat because she married a Yisrael. So therefore, if lo tochal lo, she marries the Yisrael, lo tochal lo b'truma v'lo b'maaser. Now, what happens if the Yisrael dies and he leaves her with the son? The same thing. The presence of the son makes her still married to a Yisrael. And a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael can't eat Petruma. Kol Shekain, someone who is a Bas Yisrael, who was only eating because of her son that was left from her marriage to a Kohen, also cannot eat Petruma. So still, now she can't even eat B'maaser, because the schutz to eat Maaser, Aliba the Rebbe Meir, that she had from the marriage to her husband, the Levi, now is lost because of the fact that she is still married to Yisrael, but the husband is dead, but she still has a son from that husband. Now, here is the fascinating thing. So far, this looks very much like Yibum, in the sense that the presence of a child means that the husband is still alive in that sense, right? Now, in Yibum, what would happen if a Yevama, that is to say an Almana, she had a child, her husband dies, no need for Yibum. What happens if her child dies? Now she has no children and the husband has no children. Do we say that because of the death of the child, well, now the husband suddenly is no longer here and therefore she has to do Yibum? No, we don't. And yet in this equivalent case that we've seen has so many similarities, when it comes to the din of the achila of truma or maaser, the moment that the child dies, the presence of the husband is canceled. And therefore, there's an inconsistency here in the way that we view things. Because when it comes to Yibum, the death of the child of her husband does not reinstitute the chiyuv of Yibum for her. And we don't say, well, now the husband is not here, who is going to be making nafsho? But when it comes to truma, the death of the child that continued the presence of the Kohen, either positively continued the presence of a husband if he were a Kohen to give her truma, or negatively continued the presence of a husband who's a Yisrael to prevent her from eating truma, all of a sudden, the death of the child actually takes away the presence of a husband, and now we pretend it never happened. That the Gemara is going to have to analyze, why the difference between Yibum and the dinim of Achilas Truma. So now, Meit Bina Mi Yisrael. Okay, so now her latest husband, her son, died. And that was the one that had prevented her from eating Meiser or Truma. But she still has a son from her husband, the Levi. The continued presence of the son from the Levi is still going to prevent her from eating Truma, even though it will give her the right to eat Maaser. So now, if the son from the Yisrael dies, tochal b'maaser, now she can eat maaser, but not truma, because now the Levi is still alive in a way through his son. How about if the son from the Levi dies? Now she can go all the way back to eating the truma from her first husband, because she is eating since she has a son from that husband. But what about if the son dies? If the son of the coin dies, now she's back to the way that she was. Lo tochal, lo betruma, velo b'maser. So now she is just a Bas Yisrael. And a Bas Yisrael, since we hold of Rabbi Meir, she can't eat b'maser, because he holds that a zar is a sur b'maser, and obviously cannot eat from truma. Fascinating, fascinating interrelationship over here. Now, well, let's take it from the start. This halacha, b'chalal, that it's possible for a Bas Yisrael to eat truma. Okay, how exactly does that work out? Where do we get it from? And so on. So the Mishnah now continues, basically as a new Mishnah. That's a new idea. We're continuing it as if... Oops. My screen's going nuts here. As if it's a direct continuation from the previous Mishnah. So a Bat Kohen who goes ahead and gets married to Yisrael, lo tochal betruma. So what is the halacha there? She is no longer allowed to eat truma. Now remember that the pasuk, the simple pasuk, said this: Bat Kohen ki tiyal manav grushav zera ein la v'shava El Beit Avia Kinu Ureha Milechem Avia Tochav V'Chol Zar Lo Yochav. Now we were medayik from that is only if she loses her husband. So Kiti Alma Na Ugrusha, that then she's Shava El Beit Avia. We were medayik earlier that from that pasuk alone we would have known that while she's married to him that she actually cannot. So then the simple pasuk, which was the pasuk before, which says, Ubat Kohen ki tiyele ish zar. So, yi betrumata kodashim lo tochel. So that we understood before, that even though that's the pashtus of the pasuk, but actually, the pasuk was being merames to a psul, where she got married to someone who was pasula, and she is psula olamis. Now, that was the way that we were medayik before. So, in a sense, we have the simple pasuk that says exactly what we want, and we have also the diak from the next pasuk of Ubat Kohen ki tiyal manav grusha. So therefore, we clearly know that she's not allowed to go ahead and eat truma, because it says v'zera ein la. Okay, so she got married to Yisrael, lo tochal betruma. Now, how about if the husband dies? So she's mate v'la himena ben. If she still has a son, she still can't eat lo tochal betruma. She also cannot eat the truma, in this case the Levi pasulder, and that we also, we're going to go through all of the limudim. So in the case where she was actually, Yisrael dies, she can't eat. If she goes ahead and niset le Levi, she could eat maaser, again like Rabbi Meir, and even if he dies, she could still eat maaser if she has a son. So mate v'lai menaben, she can eat maaser. Now, how about if now she goes ahead and marries a kohen? This is the inverted order, right? We started off with a Bas Yisrael. Bas Yisrael married the kohen, then married the Levi, then married the Yisrael. Over here, we have the opposite. The Bat Kohen first marries a Yisrael, then goes ahead after his death and marries a Levi, and then if he dies and she still has a son, she continues to eat maaser, and then she goes out and she marries a kohen. So then the fact that she has those earlier children, they don't prevent her from eating. What's important now is who is she married to at this moment. So if she marries a kohen, she eats truma because of her current husband, the kohen. And we don't have a problem with the fact that she has a child from these earlier marriages. Now, if the child from the Kohen dies, then she goes back to the Meiser, because now her latest status is she's still married to that Levi, in a sense, because that Levi has a child with her. So then she can't eat truma, but she can eat maaser. The child from the Levi dies, then she can't eat maaser, because she still has the child from the Yisrael. The child from the Yisrael dies, now she goes back to what she was before, and she does eat truma. So it's exactly the inverted image of what happens to the Bas Yisrael who does this. She goes back, in this case, the Bas Kohen is Chozeret LeBeit Avia, and she is allowed to eat the truma. Va'azone emar, v'shaval bet avia kine ureha, milechem avia tochel. So over here it says beferish that she can go back and she can be, according to this eating truma, and according to Rabbi Meir, the same din that we had of the Kohen of truma, we learn out that we have the same halacha to the Levi with Maaser. Okay, so now this idea that if the child from the Levi dies, that the Bas Yisrael can go back to eating truma because of the son of the Kohen that she was married to. Now remember, the only indication that we have in the Torah that a woman can go back to a schus that she had before when things are changed because of the status of a child, that was only the Bat Kohen. So it says, Vishava el Beit Avia Kinura. She goes back to her father. In this case, the father, we're talking about the father who is a Kohen, and she eats Truma. But that was called Choseret. That's the halacha we refer to all the time, Bechoseret. How do we know that there's a din of Choseret even in the case where she's a Bas Yisrael? I mean, is that also? She's not being Shava El Beit Avia. Yet we're applying the halacha of Choseret to a Bas Yisrael who was eating truma because of a child that's surviving from her previous marriage to a Kohen, and then she wasn't able to eat because she went and married a Levi or a Yisrael, that now if a child dies from that Levi and Yisrael, then she goes back, ki'ilu, she's a Bas Kohen going back to her father. I mean, that's not the same, is it? So here what we're saying is that the din of Choseret el Beit Avia kin ureha is the same and will apply to Choseret l'achilas truma mibna shel ba'ala kohen kibetchila. Where do we get that from? That's like an amazing extension of this din, that you mean literally to make her the equivalent of a bat kohen. So this is saying, says the Gemara, Dahadra achla mishum bina. She can go back and be a Choseret because of her son from her first marriage years ago to that Kohen. Where do we get that from, that there's a din of Choseret? Minol. Omar Rebbe Abba, Omar Rav. Look, it says over here, it could have said Bat Kohen, and it said, instead it says U Bat Kohen, right? So then the U Bat Kohen comes to tell me, simple pshat was a literal Bat Kohen. She goes back after her Yisrael husband dies. But the Ubat tells me there's someone else that would be the equivalent. And that would be a Bas Yisrael, or a Bas Levi, obviously. And then she had gone out and married somebody else who took away her right to eat truma from this marriage. Now that that child is no longer here from that other marriage, and therefore her marriage is bottled as far as we're concerned vis-a-vis the truma, it's the same halacha, Ubat. Wait a minute. But isn't that only going on Libra Rabbi Akiva? That he has the extra vav. Remember, every time that we've been Dorish an extra vav, we've always asked, but what about if you don't hold him, Rabbi Akiva, who's Dorish vav? So where would we get this halacha? Are we saying this halacha is bedavka like Rabbi Akiva? No, says the Gemara, as we saw before. This Ubat is completely and totally extra. Because Afilo Temer Abonon, the entire pasuk of Ubat, it starts off Ubat Kohen ki tiel Izar, and the next pasuk then is Ubat Kohen ki tiel Mana. I mean, does it really need to repeat Ubat Kohen? It's the same story. So it could have simply said Ubat Kohen ki tiel Izar hibetrumata kodashim, and so on. U ve chi tiel Almana grusha. Why do we have to start over again? We're referring back to the same antecedent, right? And if she subsequently becomes an Almana grusha, what do you mean? If a Bat Kohen, it's the same one that we were talking about. Therefore, the whole pasuk is extra. Even the Rabbanan or Maida, that we certainly are going to be derish, the entire word Ubat. That's what I meant. Tana Rabbanan. Kishihi Choseret. Now, here's a fascinating halacha. What's the din in someone who is Choseret to her father's house? A Bat Kohen. Kishihi Choseret. Remember, we were Medayik before, that she's only Choseret l'truma, ve'eno Choseret l'chosev shok. When she was a child to a Kohen, then she was able to eat from kochim kalim that were given to Kohenim, because it was for the entire bias of the Kohen. And she shares both truma and what's called truma, it's a different level of truma, muram. So it was Muran, the Chaz of Shoka Truma, right? So it's a Truma, but it's a Truma of Kachim. Now, while she was in her father's house, she was eating all types of Truma. The Truma, which we call Kachi Gvul, because they're eaten all over and given all over, not related to the Beis HaMikdash. And she was also eating the Truma from Shlomi. And now, when she goes back, she only goes back to eating Truma, but she never goes back to the way things were completely. And she cannot eat a chaza v'shok. And how do we know that? Now, we're going to see, and this is amazing, that this is only true of a chozeret to Beit Avia. But if she's chozeret to her husband, so to speak, meaning to the son of the husband, then she continues to eat even chaza v'shok. So it turns out that she's even a bigger chozeret than the source of the chozeret. That's like unbelievable. Okay, we're going to have to look into how do we get there. So she's not chozeret l'chaza v'shok. How do we know this? Omer of Chist, Omer of Ina Barshila, what is the basis of this? Well, it says that if Kitiela Izar, he betrumata kodashim lo tochel. What that means, bimuram mina kodashim lo tochel. Now, it could have just said, he bekodashim lo tochel. So meaning what it seems to be saying over here is that she is muram mina kodashim, she's permanently asura in the muram mina kodashim. Because remember the way that we were medayik that pasuk before, is that it was talking about permanent psuim, because we were able to be medayik the din that while she's married to the Yisrael, she can't eat from the next pasuk, from the fact that only if she's an almanak v'grusha does she go back, meaning that in the interim, she was not allowed to eat. So therefore, from that pasuk, Tainas, but this was Rav Chisda Diak before also, therefore, Tainas Rav Chisda, in the name of Ravina, that the halach over here is implied in the fact that instead of saying betruma, this is betrumata kodashim, I mean, instead of saying just plain kodashim, which would have included both, it says trumata kodashim, that is a reference to truma chazav shok. Reb Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, that, no, it's a very simple diak, because this, remember, to go along with Reb Chisda means to understand the entire first pasuk is really not referring kipshuto to a marriage to Yisrael. So Reb Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua says, look, it says that she goes back to milechem avia, right? Now, remember, lechem does not mean bread. Lechem means food. And we see this in many places. The place that Rashi brings over here is the Pasuk of Daniel, lechem rav. So it's talking about Baal Shatzar's big seuda. Obviously, it was not one of these health seudas, you know. Here you've got every type of grain. We'll give you any bread you want. So the lechem rav is food, lots and lots of food. And over here it says mi lechem. She only gets some of the lechem, but not all of the lechem. So what does that exclude? It excludes the trumas hakodashim, prat l'chaz v'shok. Matkif l'romi bar choma. Maybe it means prat l'hafarat nedarim. That you might have thought that if she goes back to Beit Avia, remember that the lashon of Beit Avia, which we use elsewhere, binu ureha Beit Avia, means that the father has zchuyot in her, including the right to be made for her nedarim. So you might think that it means she goes back to the way things were for hafaras nedarim, right? So maybe therefore comes along the pasuk, even though she's going back to eating truma and chazav v'shok, but she's not going back to give her father rights for hafaras nedarim. Maybe that's all that it means. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, that can't be. Because we know that for sure there cannot be a faras nedarim by a father once a woman was married in any way. Kfar paska tana devei Rabbi Yishmael, that's clear from this brayta, the tana devei Rabbi Yishmael. We have in the dinim of a faras nedarim a very strange pasuk. V'neder amana ugrusha yokum aleha. So that if she is an amana or a grusha, so then it should be chal because her husband and her father, kol asher asral nafsha, yokum aleha, because they can't be the ones to be made for nedarim. Why do I need that? I mean, she already, it's talking about a woman who was married. So she left her father's rishus for all purposes. Halo mutz'a michlal av. And she doesn't have a husband because she's an amana v'grusha, so she's mutza mechlal bal. So I don't understand. So who did you think exactly who was going to be made for Nadarim? So of course you're Kumaleo. She's just like anybody else. Ella. Oh, what it's talking about is a curious situation. Remember, we have the din of Mesira to the Shluchei Habal, right? So we spoke about the fact that to go to Chuppah, we even talked about whether Ma'amar requires Mesira to be able to go to Chuppah. So over here, we're talking about a woman. She's on her way to her Chuppah. The father already handed her over. That's part of the Achana L'Chuppah. So Masar Ha'av L'Shluchei Habal, or Shluchei Ha'av, or Masar L'Shluchei Habal. And on the way to her wedding, her chosen dies, or her chosen divorces her. That's Makdim Rufu Lamaka, boy. So over here, he was a Mu'urastar, so of course she needs to get, but he was Megarisher while she's on the way to the Chuppah. So what exactly do we call her? What is her status? Hey, Chani Koreba. Is she still considered to be Beit Avia because of the fact that she never actually left till the point of the Chuppah? I mean, she walked out of the house with the Shluchim, but she wasn't actually married yet or Nesuah yet, right? Or is she considered to be in Beit Baala? Because, I mean, that's also the Lashon of the Pasuk, Ve'im Beit Isha Nadara. So we have Beit Avia or Beit Isha. So how would I view her? The Pasuk is Gufa coming to tell me that the moment that she was Yotza, even for like 5 minutes on the way to her Chuppah, and then by then it found out that he had died, the Chassan. It's that those 5 minutes are enough to take her out of the Rishus of the Av forever. Shuv en yochol afer. And that's why it says, even in that state, yokum aleha. So therefore, we now know that when it's said in the Pasuk that she goes back to mi lechem avia, it's referring not to afaras nedarim, but to the fact that it's not all of this lechem. Rav Safra Amar, no, on the contrary, I know that she can only eat truma because it says mi lechem avia. Well, lechem, why stay mi lechem avia? I mean, just say the truma of avia, because lechem means lechem and not basar. You see, so if I would have said truma, so I would have said that includes trumat hakodashim, which is meat. Therefore, kamash malan, no, she only can eat from the agricultural products of the grain, which we took the truma from, and that's lechem. Rav Papa says a different diak, and that is the word avia. Mi lechem avia, and that means lechem, which is kanuila avia, things which are given to the father to own. Truma is his own property, right? But the chazav ishok, that's not really the kohens. That is mishulchan gavoa kazoch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him the right to eat this, but it doesn't give it to him as his property. And therefore, what she can eat is only that which belongs to the father. Now, this is a really profound insight. Because the point is that her rights to eat are a derivation of her father's giving her things. Because she's already left his rishus, which comes back. But not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu sharing his gift with her. She's not considered to be a pristine Bas Kohen any longer. And therefore, she's not Zochra. Now it starts adding up. We see from this deal the way that the halacha has evolved in terms of her status. It actually redefines her. Rava Amar. Rava says that, look, the Pasuk says, Ve'chazei ha'tnufa, ve'etshok ha'truma. What's the halacha? Tochlu ata uvanecha. Now, when the Torah talks about the actual giving over the entire thing to the family of the Kohen, it says ata uvanecha uvnotecha itach. Why does it say itach? Benotecha, itach means as long and only so far as they are itcha. They have to be with you. But once they've left home, the fact that they come back, they are not really with you. And they are their own family. And you're allowed to share certain things with them, but not everything, not the shokat truma. This is so fascinating because it's really part, and it's an insight into the way we feel about children that have left the family, now come either chas v'shalom to live back with them, which one hopes never happens, to live back at home, or They come with their families to visit home. They're no longer ita. They're not part as it was before, although you still share with them, love them, and so on and so forth, and still have the same feelings for children, but they are different. They're not you, and they're not with you. Okay, so all of these different diyukim each one of them sheds light on a different element. Omer Vada Bar Ava, it's so interesting, because the Braita says, if she's Chozeret LeBeit Aviha, then she's Chozeret LeTruma ve'ena Chozeret LeChozeret B'Shok. But if she's Chozeret B'Shvil Bina, which was the case in the Mishnah, that she wasn't eating because she went out and she married another guy after her husband, the Kohen, died, leaving her with the son, and now she's going back after the death of that husband, she's Chozeret even LeChozeret B'Shok. So she's better than a Chozeret LeBeit Aviha. So Rav Mordechai said this over to Rav Ashi, and it really bothered him, because he said, I don't understand. How do we know that the ochelet b'shvil ben, well, that means from marriage, she's a Bas Yisrael, how do we know that she's a Chozeret? We only learn it out from bat u'bat, right? So then that means it's an extension of the din of the Chozeret LeBeit Aviha. How could the extension of the din of Chozeret LeBeit Aviha be better than the din of Chozeret LeBeit Aviha herself? It doesn't make sense to me. Me'echa k'misrabia only mi ubat. So we have bat ubat. So mi'adifa lamina. How could she be even in a stronger position that she is able to eat the chaz of a shok? But the very bas kohen who's going back to her father's house cannot eat the chaz of a shok. How could that be? Says Rav Ashi, why not? All of the diyukim that we made that prevent her from eating chaz of a shok have to do with the definition of a new relationship between a daughter who has left home and who has returned home. Those miyutim are very specific. Why would we assume that they would actually define anything about a woman who continues to live with a deceased husband because she's still part of that marriage through her child? They don't necessarily apply, don't you see? It's a totally different situation. So even though the makor of the halacha, you're right, is that she's chozeret, there's one concept of chozeret. And then there's another concept, which is, okay, but in what sense chozeret? There, each thing defines itself. So the chozeret to a family where she's already left and now unfortunately has nowhere to go and is coming back home is completely different than the continued presence of, even though the husband is no longer alive, the continued presence of that husband in her relationship to his children and therefore to her continued relationship to him. That's why, ha'chalo kative mi'ute. Okay, now, let's take a look of the Bat Kohen, who is Nises Liyisrael. Remember that we had really extensions of this din where she cannot be Chozeret. And where was that? Well, Tana Rabbana, Vishava al Beit Aviha means she has to be actually go back. So first of all, that means that if when the husband dies, there is a brother and she's a Shomeret Yavam, she can't go back because she's still not able to go back to her father's house. And then when it says Vishava Beit Aviha kine ureha, well, if she's pregnant, she can't go back because she's no longer kine ureha. When she left as a child, she wasn't pregnant. But do I really need a pusik to tell me that? I mean, it seems to me it's a kal vachomer. Now here is where we're getting into the fantastic and very beautiful analysis of how the implications of the dinim of the continued presence of someone after death in a child, benogea yibam, how that issue affects the continued presence of someone after death, benogea either achilas truma for a bas yisrael or for the preventing of achilas truma in the event that it's a bas kohen who married. So therefore, we start with this kal vachomer, which sort of opens the sugya for us in a very beautiful way. And we've understood this all along, but it comes as a shock if you've never thought about the interrelationship of the two sugyas. Now, the Gemara is just taking it for granted. And take a look at this amazing kal vachomer. Uma b'makom, Shelo asa Vlad min Arishon, ke Vlad min Hasheni, benogea lepotra min Hayibum. Listen, if a woman gets married, she has a child. Okay, the husband dies with a child. So then there's no problem, right? She doesn't need Yibum. She goes and she marries another husband. If that husband dies and doesn't have a child from that husband, the fact that she had a child from the first husband makes absolutely no difference. She's still going to need Yibum from the second husband, right? So it certainly is not considered to be any use in pottering her from Yibum. Okay, let's set that aside. And that defines the relationship of children to Yibum in subsequent marriages. Nonetheless, what's the halakha over there? If she is pregnant, it made the pregnancy the equivalent of a child who was already born. Because what we were medayik is that we're supposed to be ayena lav. Remember, she does not get yibum even if she's just pregnant. As long as the pregnancy was of a real child, that turns out in the end was not a miscarriage, right? But the Torah says, even if she's only pregnant, she is petura from Yibum, and that was part of the Ben Einlo Ayin Alav, right? So in other words, even a fetus, Ayin Alav. Actually, we have to wait and see whether it was a viable child. But the bottom line is that the actual pregnancy potted her. How about when it comes to the Dinam of Achila Truma? So here's what I'm pointing out to you. There is a place where the Torah made a child from the first husband the full equivalent of a child from the second husband, namely, leposla min hatruma. So let's say the Bas Kohen goes ahead and she marries, in this case, a Yisrael. Okay, the Yisrael now dies, but leaves her a child. And then she goes ahead and she marries another Yisrael. And that second Yisrael dies, but without a child. Do we say that her current status is defined by her latest husband? No. Can she go back to eating truma? No. Why not? Well, because she had a husband from her first husband, a child from her first husband, Yisrael. Well, what does a child from a first husband have to do with her current situation? I thought when it came to Yibum, we don't look at a child from another marriage as affecting her current situation. So why the heck should we look at her first marriage after her second marriage ended without a child, and she's still not allowed to eat truma because that child is there? Well, why don't we say her current status was her most recent marriage? That's what we say by Yibum. And so in that case, isn't it obvious that if it's good enough to have a child that is so powerful that her child from the first husband is fully equal to a child from a second husband, Eino din shenaaseh ubar keyalud? So the Torah is much more machshiv, the presence of a child when it comes to the dinim of truma, than when it comes to the dinim of Yibum. So if for Yibum we were ready to accept pregnancy as a child, then for truma, for sure, we should accept pregnancy as a child. So what do I need a pasuk to say? Well, she can't go back to eating truma at her father's house because she's not the same as she was when she's a child. She's currently pregnant. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. The fact that she's pregnant is sufficient to answer directly in terms of the dinam of achila. Okay, so this is like our opening shot over here of this amazing interrelationship of the two sugyas. So what would I need a pasuk for? Now it gets interesting. Says the Gemara, no, because I can show you that this is not a good Kavach Omer. Why? Because Ma Li Asa Uber Ki Yolud Le'inin Yibum, who cares about the fact that the Torah makes an unborn child the equivalent of a born child with Yibum? Of course it does, because it also, by Yibum, it considers a dead child to be the equivalent of a live child. Does? Of course it does. Because if Lamaisa, at the time of the death of her husband, there was a child, and then the child dies, it's as if the child is still alive and there's no din of Yibum. So let's say 5 minutes after the husband dies, the child dies. Is there a din of Yibum? No. The fact is, once there's a child, even if it's no longer alive, it's as if it's alive. Is that true for Truma? Absolutely not. The moment that the child that postulated her from eating Truma dies, she eats. The moment that the child stops giving her Truma, she stops eating in the event of the Yisrael. So then a dead child is not the same as a living child. So why should a pregnancy be that? Of course, the pregnancy is the same when it comes to Yibam, but that's if dead is the same, so semi-alive is the same. But if dead is not the same, then maybe a fetus wouldn't be the same either. That's why I need the pasuk to tell me it's the fact of pregnancy and the change in her which prevents her from going back. But I would in no way know that pregnancy is the equivalent of yalut. Amazing. All right, so now we're getting more into a subtle understanding. Talmud lomar kine ureha prat lemu beret. That's why she has to be the same as she was. Okay, so then we have now two things to take into consideration. First of all, that it's vizera ein la, that's in terms of her relationship to the husband. But then we also have her own personal status, which is defined by kine ureha, that she cannot have changed in her body in order to be able to go back. So do I need both? Yes, of course I need both. Yitzchak l'michta muberet, v'yitzchak l'michta v'zera einla. Because I couldn't learn from the other. Let's say the Torah would have said v'zera einla. I would have said, well, okay, I mean, obviously she can't go back to her father if she has a kid. I mean, first she was one person, now she's two people. I mean, how can you say that we're going to extend the concept of her eating her father's food now to a grandchild? I mean, it's not the same thing. Mashenken, if she's pregnant, okay, so she's pregnant. So before she was one person, she's still one person. The fact that there's a change in the status of that body doesn't give her a din of like being a grandchild, does it? So ema techo. Therefore, I need to tell me no, but the fact that she's pregnant prevents her from eating truma. On the other hand, let's say that we would have said that prat lemu uberet, because it has to be kinu ureha. I would have said, well, yes, because when she left her father's house, her belly was empty. So she was an ilan srak, so to speak, srika. She was not in a state of production. But now she is. Ashta gufa malia. Now it's like all of a sudden that pine tree turned into an apple tree. You know, so now she's an apple. Before she was a pine. Well, we eat pine nuts, so maybe let's not talk about pine. Okay. But whatever. An oak tree. So, Baval, maybe in the case of Zera Ela, she's back to the way she is. I mean, what do you care about the fact that she has a child? You don't want to give the child. Don't give the child, but give me. Okay, so why would she not be allowed to eat? Because before she was a gufa srika, and she's still a gufa srika. She looks like the same tree she was before. Amalo, maybe there's no reason why she can't go back to eat the beit aviyah. Therefore, I need both in Yonah because they're very, very different. Okay, now because of the complexity of the interrelationships, we have a very complex simon. We don't, our minhag here is not to go into the simonim because we have to know the sugi before we go back again to the simonim. But that's why we have this long simon. Omar le lo nasev, nasev b'misa, nasev lo nasev v'vlad, yibam v'truma. Okay, fine. Anyway, so we said before, these halachas, and I want to now see how they interrelate. So now, says Rav Yehuda midiskarta l'rava, in terms of the interrelationship of the dinim of a child vis-a-vis achilas truma to the dinim of a child vis-a-vis the chiyuv of yibam, I want to examine that from various hebetim. Okay, so now let's take a look at this. Maybe we should say, lo nase metim chichayim le'inyan yibam mikal v'chomer. We should not allow a dead child to be the equivalent of a living child to permanently pater the mother from Yibum, because it should be a kal v'chomer from the dinim of a dead child by truma. If b'mokum sha'asa vlad ben arishon kivlad ben hasheni, remember that the Torah considers her child from her first husband to be exactly the same as her child from the second husband, and we don't say that if her second husband dies, she goes back to eating truma if she still has a child from her first husband, the Yisrael, right? So a previous marriage's child will postulate her from truma, but it certainly will not help her to be puter from Yibam. Lo asa metim kechayim. to potter her. So therefore, Mokum Shaloasa Vlad Min HaRishon Min HaVlad Min HaSheni. So there we said, the moment the child dies, when it comes to Truma, forget it. So certainly in a place where Loas HaVlad Min HaRishon K'Vlad Min HaSheni LePotra Min HaYibum, we're not going to say the fact that she has a child from a previous marriage should mean that now from her new marriage she doesn't need Yibum. It's completely irrelevant. What do we care about a child that she had from another marriage? So then, if that's the case, obviously we should not make a dead child the same as a living child. So therefore, I should conclude that the moment that a child dies after the mother was ptura from Yibum, he now restores the chiyuv of Yibum, and we're going to have to do chalitza. So even if she went ahead and got married, she's got 5 children from her new husband, and then it's now 30 years later, and the child from her previous marriage dies, based on learning it out of Truma, we should say that now she needs chalitza, because now she is mukhuyevet in Yibum. How come we don't say that? Isn't it obvious from the Kal Vachomer? Talmud Lomar, where do we know that that cannot be true? The Torah says, Derachea darchei Noam, v'chol netivoteha shalom. You're meant to utilize an understanding of Derech Eretz in how it is that the Torah gives over its halachas. To base on a Kal Vachomer, remember, a Kal Vachomer is your extension of a din of the Torah. You cannot take a Kal Vachomer and extend the Torah where it violates the overall context of what the Torah is about. The Torah is about normalcy. To say that somebody 30 years later is now going to be faced with a wife who requires chalitza from some jerk that he never wanted to meet and has something to do with the previous marriage, and now he just feels, oh my God, I mean, this whole time I'm really dealing with a woman who's part of another family, she's not really married to me, and it's horrific. That's called darkei shalom to you? This is netivoteha shalom? This is really going to encourage happiness in marriages? Therefore, it's outrageous to apply a Kal Vachomer to that. It's non-contextual. Amazing, right? We have the same din when it comes to defining what a lulav is. We base what a lulav is on Derachea Darchei Noam. You really think the Torah is going to say to wave around palm branches with these big thorns in them? Ridiculous. It's amazing. Okay. All right. So now, all right. I understand that. So now let me ask you something else about a relationship. Why do we say, now that we know this, so why don't we take it as the opposite and say the same thing about eating truma? So then we should say, Na'aseh Meitim K'chayim Le'inin Truma Mikal V'chomer. Once we've established this for the Dinim of Yibum, let's go back. Is this amazing? See how every piece relates to the Dinim of the Kohen, and the death of the Kohen or the death of the Yisrael relates directly back to Yibum. Amazing. So originally, I'll bet you all thought that, okay, yeah, I mean, it does have a little bit of a connection and so on, but you know, he always finds connections where there aren't any. Ha 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 ha. Okay, so here the Gemara is, boom, I mean, it's really building up these connections, unbelievably. So now let's go back and say the opposite. We should say that dead children are the same as living children for Truma also, from a Kal Vachomer. Because if in the plays, when it comes to Yibum, that the Torah did not make a child from a first marriage to be the equivalent of a child from the second marriage to potter her from Yibum, nonetheless, it considered dead children to be the equivalent of living children, because we see from the Drachea Darchei Noam that we should not apply this Kal Vachomer. And nonetheless, the halacha is, it's osa meitim kechayim, makom sha'asa v'lad min harishon k'v'lad min harsheni l'poslam min hatruma. But over here, we did say that the fact that she had a child from her first husband, the Yisrael, meaning her first husband Yisrael, will passel the Bas Kohen, even though her latest husband died without a child. And for sure we should say that we should not consider it to be we should say rather that we're more machshir of the child, and even when the child dies, she should still be have a right to eat truma as a bas yisrael or not to in the other direction. Talmud Lomar, v'zera ein la. I'm asking you, does she or does she not have these children that are making her incapable of achila? Yesh or ein? Well, I have to admit that ein. I'm just trying to say that it should still be as. Just answer my question. Yesh or ein? Okay, so ein la. All right, then let's do it the other direction then. So if that's the case, we should say that a Vladimir Arishon should be the same as a Vladimir Hashini for Yibam. We should say the same thing, because it's a Kal V'chomer out of Truma. And if a woman was once married, and she had a child from that first marriage, and now she married again, and now the husband dies and she does not have a child, so maybe, based on the following Kal V'chomer, she should not be Chayeves in Yibam from her second marriage. Because look, when it came to Truma, if the child died, he's out of the picture. And that would be lenient Truma. Nonetheless, the Torah in that case considered a Vlad Min Harishon vis-a-vis passing from Achilas Truma, her first marriage to the Yisrael, to her first husband, the Yisrael, if she was left with a child, continues to passel her. That's what the whole Mishnah was bringing out. And a Makom, where for Yibam, the Torah does make a dead child the equivalent of a living child, so Eino Din Shenase Vlad Min Harishon kaVlad Min Hasheni, shouldn't her child from her previous marriage be sufficient to passel her, or to say she doesn't require Yibam from the second one? Talmud Lomar, that's why the Torah says Uben Ein La. And the bottom is, Ein Lo, rather. And the bottom line is, does this husband that just died, does he or does he not have a child? Ein Lo, fine. So then if that's the case, Yibam comes into play. Oh, woo. All right, so then I've got one last problem here. Because now that we know that, so then we shouldn't make a Vlad Min Harishon kaVlad Min Hasheni l'Truma from a Kal V'chomer for Yibam. Because if in the place where the Torah said that a dead child is like a live child, where is that? By Yibam. That even though the child died after the husband died, doesn't matter. It's as if the husband is still alive. So over there, that was pottering her from Yibam. Nonetheless, it didn't consider it a Vlad from a previous marriage to be relevant to the current determination of whether she's Chayiv and Yibam. So then, Kol Shekein, Amokam Shelo Asa Meitiv Kachayim, in a place where the Torah did not make a mace the same as a Chay. And the moment the child dies, she's able to eat Truma if she's a Bas Kohen, or go back to eating Truma if she'd been married to a Kohen, whatever. So then, for sure, we should say that lo nase Vlad Min Harishon kaVlad Min Hasheni. Talmud lomar ein la. It's only where she has no children in this case. Ein la, as opposed to the ein lo in the Yibam case. And does she or does she not? She does. Yeshla, she does have children. We're ready for our Sir Richard. Hadra alach yesh mutarot bebaalehem. So, we have now seen how beautifully the entire sugya of the Kuhuna and Achilas Truma ties into our Masechet in so many intricate ways that we needed to examine every last possible interaction. Now, we want to go in onwards to see what exactly determines the fact of death of a husband. And where would we rely on witnesses who say that a husband died or a child died and that they're not around here, so we don't know. And this is going to have massive impact, not only on the Dinim of Yibam, of course, which is one of the big, I mean, these are contemporary issues all the time. People that disappear, ships that sink, airplanes that go down, bodies aren't recovered. And horrific issues during the Second World War, in which hundreds of thousands of people were left without having any idea of what the status was of the spouse. Am I married? Am I not married? Am I Chayeves in Yibum? Is a brother alive? Is he not alive? Is a child alive? And it's horrific. Thousands and thousands of tshuvas that were based basically on this coming perek, which all has to do with these determinations. So we start off with the simplest question. All right, now we have a woman. Her husband goes overseas. Obviously, we don't have communication. She hears that. Now, even though it says Uba'u, which is a Lashon Rabim, we're going to be medayik in the Gemara that we're talking about an Eid Echad. One person comes along and says, your husband died. So that's the equivalent of they say, not that there were two particular people who said. They say, there's always one person who says what they say, right? It's a superb armor. All right. So they say your husband died. So we have one person who basically says your husband died. And she goes ahead and she gets married based on that. Is she allowed to do that? She is. And this requires a little bit of explanation, even though I'm sure you all remember, but let's just refresh our memory. The din is that obviously, al pi shnei edim, and only al pi shnei edim, can we paskin a davar, and that is dvar erva. So anything that has to do with erva, we're not allowed to listen to one witness. Nonetheless, because of the horrific preponderance of these cases of agunot, where we don't know what the status is, and that means that this woman will never be able to get married. And we often have these kind of reports, but we can't corroborate them with two witnesses. So what do we do? So we made a takana. And the takana is that a woman can get married on the basis of one witness, but she needs the court's heter. We'll see the importance in that. And the heter is based, how can you give a heter to something which is also deraisa? It's based on a series of tremendously powerful takanas. 16 different things we're going to see are implicated in this decision, so that she is going to be left, if she did not properly do a full investigation to the utmost of her power to establish what the facts are, she loses everything. She loses both husbands. Her children become mamzerim. She loses all financial rights, all support, so on and so forth. Because of the horrific outcome, if she didn't do a good job, we consider the issue to have been mivurar, not based on the edus, but based on the private investigators and everything that she has done, which has given her a consensus that this husband is gone. Okay, so based on that, if she gets married and then the husband shows up, it's a bit uncomfortable. So, here are the consequences that she's going to have to face. Basically, she's going to need to get a divorce. As we'll see, she's going to need an actual divorce from both of the husbands, even though the second marriage is a joke. We'll see why we make a gezeira that she needs a divorce. Ein la ketubah, velo perot, velo mizonot, velo bilaot, lo alze, velo alze. She has no claims of anything whatsoever. And this is even if she borrowed money to eat. And she's got no rights to recover the perot that were taken from her nifsei malug. Nothing for all of the things that were worn out in the usage of the husband. And no support from either husband. And im natla mizeh o mizeh, if she did receive any of that, she is going to have to give it back and will garnish her salary for the rest of her life. Her children from both of those husbands, meaning if she went and took her first husband back, the vlad is mamzer mizeh o mizeh. So the second husband is obviously real mamzer because he was never a husband. She was still married. But the Rabbana made a gzera that if she goes back to her first husband, her children are mamzerim. If her children are kohanim, neither of them are allowed to attend her funeral. The lo zevezez zakaim, neither of them are considered to be her husband vis-a-vis the things that she finds or earnings that she had. Neither of them have a right to be made for her nedarim. If she was a bas yisrael, she now becomes psula from ever marrying into the kuhuna because basically she's a zona. She was sleeping with another guy while her husband was alive. And if she was a bas levi, she becomes psula from the maaser because of a knas. And if she's a bas kohen, she becomes psula from ever eating truma. And neither one's husbands, ein yorshim shel zeh ve'yorshim shel zeh, the heirs of either husbands do not inherit anything from her. Meaning that all of the things, this is called ketuvat bedin dichrin, where part of the tenei ketuvah is, any male children that you have from me, then whatever I inherited when you died, when I die, go to your children. No, that doesn't happen over here. Their husband keeps everything, and after his death, it's given to all of his children, not only to the children he had with her. So they're going to share with all of his heirs. So that means that her personal money and personal property and her Louis the 16th china set, all of that is going to be split among all of the heirs. And then, in the event that Metu, let's say both of these husbands die before they get to divorce, there's no Yibum, but of course we definitely need Chalitza from the first husband because she really was married to the first husband. But we also make a Gzera that we need Chalitza from the second husband's brothers because we'll see the Gzera, the same reason that we needed a get from the second husband. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, she still has a ketubah. The Tanakhama said she lost her ketubah from either of them. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, but the first husband, why in the world would there not still be the ketubah? Because the Nechsei Baal HaRishon was a real marriage. Rabbi Elazar Omer, I also disagree with the business of Metziata. I mean, what is the business of the husband? That what, he should be deprived of keeping her earnings or keeping anything that she finds? What's his business? I understand why we're giving her a knas, but why are we taking away the rights of the husband? He was really married to her, the first husband. He didn't do anything wrong. And Rabbi Shimon says, and I disagree about the din of Yibum or Chalitza. I mean, for God's sake, Yibum is the right of the woman. I mean, Yibum is also the Hakom as Hashem of the husband. Again, the husband dies. This whole business, I mean, he had no idea what was going on and nothing to do with it. So why in the world would there not be a Chiv of Yibum or Chalitza? And Biatar Chalitza Tami Achiv Sharishon is a complete and total kosher Chalitza, kosher Yibum, who will passel even her Tzara from Yibam of Chalitza. She's totally married to him. Ve'ena v'lad mimenu mamzer. And you said that if after he gets back, he goes back and takes her as a wife and they get a child, that it would be a mamzer. Rabbi Shimon says, no, he would not be a mamzer. Obviously, the second husband is really a mamzer. The Oraisa, that there's nothing to discuss. So this is all talking about the case where she got married on one witness's testimony. All of these 16 items, which we'll review in a minute, all of these 16 items were because of the fact that she did not have two witnesses, and therefore they are the reason that we rely on the vet investigation. But suppose she got married without the Rishus of Beis Din, meaning she didn't need the Rishus of Beis Din. Two witnesses came, and they said, your husband is dead. She has every right to believe that. Now, that is a classic case of onus. I mean, what am I supposed to do? The witnesses said that I can marry, and I married. It's not my fault. Then, well, she does have to leave both of her husbands. Then she, obviously the second husband is a joke, and then it's not her fault, so she's considered to be the equivalent of a rape victim if he's not a Kohen, so she goes back to him, because all of this is anus. In the case where she was Nisei Salpi Beis Din, but there's one thing where it's the opposite. Here it comes out that if she had two witnesses, that she is in a better position. And if she had the court, she's in a worse position because of these takanas. But there's one thing where she's in a better position if she had the court sanction. And that would be that if she was niseit al pi beit din, meaning that there was a eid echad and there was a psak beis din that she needed to get, then they'd say, but she's pater from the karban because she'd married al pi beis din, but where she relied on the witnesses, Loni said not be Beis Din, she didn't need the Beis Din, then they'd say, and over there she is Chayevet B'Korban, because over there she actually is considered to be only a Shogeget. And Yofi Koach Beit Din Shepotra Min HaKorban, somebody who acts Al Pi Beit Din, a Yochid who followed the Beis Din's Psak, is Potter from bringing a carb. And therefore, in this case, she would be Potter. And if, however, let's understand what a Besdin P'sak means. The Besdin P'sak is not, you are hereby not married to your first husband. Oh, she says, lovely. Why don't I go take a lover? Maybe get married to a Kohen Gadol. Well, I mean, the Besdin says that I'm okay. Besdin did not say you're okay. The Besdin said you can go and marry somebody else. You were the one who decided, well, but that means that. But it doesn't mean anything but what the Besdin Paskin. And therefore, if she goes ahead, because Besdin said that she can marry someone, and she goes ahead and she's Mikalkelet, she actually goes and does an Isser, then she is Chayevet B'Korban. Because they were only Matir, Lohi Tirua, Ela Linasei. They allowed her to marry, but they didn't do anything else. Now, Lamaisa, you have to know that this is not true, because it's all based on the Gemara in Urias in the end, which says that a Yochid she'asah b'hora at Beitin was Potter. But over there, we end up actually paskening the opposite. And we showed that this Mishnah was based on the Das of the Mandi Omar who holds Yochid she'asah b'hora at Beitin is Potter, but we don't pasken like that, as we're going to see later on. And therefore, the end of the Mishnah, which says that there's an advantage Lagabi Korban to having listened to Besdin, turns out to be Shalo Kehalacha. Okay, so this is our opening shot in terms of the Ne'amonas. And we'll be getting into the later cases where the question is, did the child die and does she therefore need Yibum, or which one died first, or is the there a brother, or did the brother die, and so on and so forth. So we'll be looking at all of the variations, Bezrat Hashem, to be continued. And meanwhile, wishing you a Chodesh Tov, which means that our standard bracha, Avoshiat Amecho Varechet Nachlatecho, which shall happen today, actually should affect the entire month, and we should be witness to ongoing nisim v'niflos, all of our dreams come true, not only our dreams, but the real tikva, not the tikva that is sung about, but the real tikva, which is to be chaser, to be the B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Brit, the way it was meant to be, that may we be zochet to see that very soon.